We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Shannon Cameron and John Ritchie with the 10-1 Birds preparing for the Tennessee Titans, which should be an intriguing game. Let's talk to our next guest. He does a tremendous job. You can follow all of his work on Twitter, at Shield Compati. Of course, also with The Ringer. He's been part of our show for, gosh, I guess the whole way, about 6 years or so. And we welcome him to the show, Mr. Shield Compati. Hi, Shield.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Great.
Shield, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
It was great. How about you guys?
Good.
Super.
Very, very nice. It was a no-stress Eagles day. Just sit back, watch other teams clobber each other, and pick up the pieces. Birds get another win. So let's talk about that win, Shield. Eagles get another win, and it was resounding on offense. One of my concerns entering the game, you know, from last week was, were teams figuring something out with the Eagles and the RPO thing? And I know you've had a chance to study the film. I guess not. I guess the other teams aren't figuring something out, or did the Eagles have a counterpunch, or, you know, was what was done in the prior couple games not done most recently by Green Bay? What'd you make of how the Eagles are so efficient and spectacular with that attack?
Yeah, we had the conversation last week, and we referenced the Chip Kelly years and, you know, having a discussion about whether that was likely to happen again. And this team just has a lot more answers. I mean, the issue against the Colts, they were a little more vanilla with the run game. Like you mentioned, the RPOs, the zone reads. This game, the run game, was much different. I mean, it was less zone read. They really weaponized Lane. I don't think I've ever seen Lane Johnson pull as much in a game as he did in this game. I mean, they were running him tackle trap, tackle power. This great one of my favorite run schemes, which they call QB counter bash, where you have the guard and the tackle pulling for Jalen Hurts, and he can either hand the ball off to Miles Sanders on a sweep to the right, or he can keep it to his left. I mean, they were using that in this game. They were using pistol. You know, pistol is a great changeup for when you feel like the defense has a beat on what you're doing. Because a lot of times when you're in shotgun at the backs to the right, the zone run is going to the left. And so when the back's in pistol, now all of a sudden the defense doesn't know which side you're going to. So they had all these tools in their bag. Now, they weren't using them every week. And I would really credit Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach, because he is the designer, the architect of this run game. And he has so much experience with all these different schemes. And they really changed a lot of things up in this game. It was really impressive.
So, Shield, just to be clear, and I think I'm hearing you clear, but just to be clear, you're saying the Eagles probably did have concerns that defenses were getting a beat on them, and Sirianni, Steichen, and Stoutland had a counterpunch, and the counterpunch worked.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that they've run a lot of these plays all season. But in that Colts game, you know, you go in with the game plan, you think about what you're going to be able to do. Sometimes you haven't practiced all these plays during the week. And so I don't know if that was the case, if it was bad play calling, or they just felt like, you know what, we're not comfortable going to them right here because we didn't practice them during the week. But after watching that film and the struggles you had in the run game, now you can go to those counter punches. So these aren't brand new schemes that they just installed last week, but maybe they needed to refine them and say, all right, let's get some reps in during the week with these and come back to them because we're going to need them.
Yeah, there's no question. The rushing attack was incredible. Why is it that the standard drop back pass protection is so disparate? It's so much less incredible than the run blocking by the O-line, Shiel.
Yeah, I would say some of the issues in pass pro, I mean, a couple things. One is, you know, the backs still struggle in blitz pickup. You know, Kenny Gainwell definitely had one or two reps in there that he got beat. I would say Landon Dickerson in pass pro has definitely taken a dip. I mean, if you're asking about who's kind of the weak link on the offensive line, just in pass pro, I mean, he's doing a good job in right. the run game, but in pass pro, I would say it's probably Landon Dickerson. And listen, sometimes there are just plays where Jalen Hurts might feel a little pressure and he takes off. And I know people have different opinions on that. I'm fine with it because him as a scrambler is one of the biggest weapons in the NFL. I mean, that first possession, third down, he takes off, he makes three guys miss, and all of a sudden you have an explosive play that eventually leads to a touchdown. So I think it's probably a factor with kind of all those different things.
How well are our backup tight ends playing?
You know, I was impressed with Jack Stoll in this game. This is the first time probably I've watched Jack Stoll film where I said, oh, he looks pretty good as a blocker. Now, they're giving you nothing in the passing game, and part of that is design. You know, it was a low-volume passing game, and also those guys just aren't going to give you anything close to what Dallas Goedert gives you. But in terms of blocking assignments, I thought Jack Stoll, this might have been his best game as an Eagle.
Wow, okay. Other side of the ball, how well are we stopping the run?
It wasn't great, obviously, in this game, and there were, you know, a few issues. I think really one of the biggest issues has been all season long is when they're in their four-man front, they just haven't done a good job holding up when they don't have that extra body in there against the run. That 20-yard touchdown run by A.J. Dillon, that's against the four-down front. And Ndamukong Suh kind of, you know, a big hole opens up between him and Milton Williams. T.J. Edwards can't get there fast enough. Gardner Johnson is slow to react, and all of a sudden you have a 20-yard touchdown. So that was a big one. And then the Packers really hit him with perimeter runs and did a good job where they said, we're not going to run right at Linval Joseph when you're in those five-man fronts. We're going to stretch you out a little bit, get to the outside. And sometimes they had issues setting the edge, or they have issues with their defensive back tackling. So it was certainly up and down. It was not nearly as good as it was the previous week against the Colts.
So Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, did they take a step back in their second performance, or how did you evaluate their play?
Yeah, I think Joseph, he was really dominant in that Colts game. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I watched it. And in this game, I would say he was competent and okay, solid, but he was not great in this game. They definitely had some times where they moved him. Now, if you look at the numbers, when Joseph was on the field, the Packers ran 17 times for 71 yards. So it's, you know, 4.2 yards per carry. It's not like they were killing them. They had one 12-yard run in there. Sue had one very nice pass rush that led to a sack in there. But there were some issues, I would say, in the run game where he didn't hold up as well.
How good is our pass rush?
I wouldn't say it was great in this game. Now, they came up with some high leverage sacks there on stunts, with Hassan Reddick in there. I really like when they use Hassan Reddick on stunts because he's kind of, when he gets in space, he can really be explosive and create some chaos in there. And so I thought that was a factor. In terms of one-on-one pass rush in this game, you know, I would say they got handled for a lot of the reps. You know, the Packers offensive line, I would say if we're just looking at pass rush reps, one-on-one where they didn't have those stunts and twists, the Packers got the better of them in this game.
Shiel Kapadia with us here. So, Shiel, one of the things John and I were talking about in the first hour is what concerns you the most that could prevent them from winning a Super Bowl other than just a rash of injuries. What would be your number one? What is the number one concern with this club?
It's probably going to sound nuts. I still have concerns about this defense against really good offenses. I mean, you know, when they face a team like the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, when they face a Kyle Shanahan-themed offense you know, where it's just a heavy game plan about, hey, here's what you do.
Sheila, I need you to hold on. I gotta present a wishbone, and I need you to break it, because you're literally talking what John and I have talked about, but you haven't specified yet. John thinks it's the run defense. I think it is the lack of a strong pass rush, even though they're third in sacks. A lot of them were against Carson when they got nine. Do you think run defense or lack of pass rush is a bigger deal?
Can I choose an option C?
Sure.
I mean, I still wonder if sort of schematically the coaching, the wrinkle can match those offenses.
The Gannon answer. Yeah, the Gannon answer.
Yeah.
And that's, I got it. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because the teams we mentioned, I mean, the 49ers is going to certainly be more of the run game. You know, that's what they want to do. They don't want to make Jimmy Garoppolo do a lot of things. The Cowboys really are multidimensional, where it depends on the week what they're doing. And so there I would say it's probably going to be more of the pass defense and stopping CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott is so good at the line of scrimmage. So it really depends on the opponent there, how I would answer it. But, you know, I would kind of choose option C. Just, can you match wits with some of these great, you know, really good offensive teams in the NFC?
How much trouble are we in with the injuries in the secondary?
You know, I'm curious to see what happens there at safety, because Gardner Johnson had the high interception total. I didn't think he was playing at like some type of elite level. You know, I thought he was solid, competent. I certainly would not have described him as sort of a strength on the team. Now, I don't want to say Reed Blankenship's going to come in and play terrific, but man, that interception was one of the best plays the Eagles have had by a safety all season long. I mean, that was a terrific play. So let's get a bigger sample before we crown him, but that's going to be a factor. And I would say not having Avante Maddox has been a bigger factor than not having Jordan Davis. I mean, listen, Josiah Scott is battling out there. He plays with high effort. He's physical. But if you look at really the big plays they've given up here over the past 3-4 weeks or so, a lot of them have been just kind of him getting beat there. So that is a factor, but I guess you're going to get Maddox back eventually, and I think that'll be big for the playoffs and the stretch run.
All right, Shil, a couple more here. Malcolm Jenkins, we heard his interview with John Clark, now two interviews. I don't know how much you got a chance to see him play last year. Do you think he can still play? By the way, he's not even a free agent. He's technically still Saints property, so it gets really funky. They'd have to cut him. But if he were available, do you think he can still play? Do you think Howie Roseman should go for him?
Man, I was really intrigued by that clip that was circulating.
Yep.
I'll be honest. I did watch him last year. You don't want him as the free safety in single high safety looks, but that's really been the case for a long time. He played a lot of snaps. He's still kind of an Iron Man. He can still play in split field safety coverages, which is what the Eagles major in. So I wouldn't have as much concern there. We've seen Malcolm Jenkins destroy run games as an Eagle. He was still doing that with the Saints last year. He is a physical player. You can almost look at him sometimes as kind of like a dime linebacker, where you get him up there and he can really hold up and is so physical. So he helped you there. We know the leadership. We know the intangibles. By the way, how about special teams?
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins played special teams, still played special teams, can help you there. I would at least make the call. You know, like you said, there are some hurdles. Would the Saints just release him and then you sign him? He sounded in that clip like I don't know what you guys thought.
Yep.
I thought he sounded like he kind of wanted to play. He
yep.
was kind of throwing the carrot out. Hey, Howie, give me a call. And so I would absolutely look into it and was intrigued by the idea for sure.
And do you just, if Gardner Johnson's going to come back, and hopefully he does, you just figure out who your starters are down the road if you're fortunate enough to get Malcolm? Like, just figure it out once you've had him for a couple weeks?
I think so. I think it makes you more versatile.
Yep.
Remember, Jenkins has a relationship with Gardner Johnson. They played together with the Saints, so it's not like you have two random guys who are battling it out. Like, you know, they know each other, and I think they would understand the situation. But, yeah, you know, what we were just talking about with the Cowboys and the 49ers, it kind of gives you more options there. Now, I don't know what kind of shape Jenkins is in. I know when I covered him, when I was covering the Eagles full-time, that he was one of the most fine-tuned athletes I've ever seen. And I don't know that anyone was more prepared to play physically on a Sunday than Malcolm Jenkins. So I would absolutely make the call.
Shil, two other quick hitters. San Francisco, Dallas, Minnesota. Which team do you think is the greatest threat to the Eagles?
I would Minnesota throw them out. I'm not even considering them. I think the Eagles would handle them easily. It really comes down to the other two. I think it's a three-team race in the NFC. I think right now, I would probably say Dallas. I think it's close between Dallas and San Francisco, but Dallas has the better quarterback with Dak Prescott, and Dallas has a defensive player in Micah Parsons who can just absolutely wreck a game and take over a game. And so the best defensive player in football right now, in my opinion. So the Eagles handled him the first time around, had a great game plan. Now the Cowboys know, all right, that's what the Eagles did the first time. What are they going to do the second time? So, man, I can't wait for that Christmas Eve matchup. That's going to be fun.
One more, Shiel. Sunday night was the first Eagles game I've watched where I really thought, you know, Lane Johnson could make the Hall of Fame. We were there with Jason Peters for a bunch of years saying this is probably a Hall of Famer. We've gotten there with Jason Kelce. I know he still has a ways to go. But when you watch him play, do you see a potential Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. And it's been a 2 to 3 year stretch where I just watch and kind of marvel at it. And then you watch other teams and even the great offensive linemen, you'll see them have a little play here, a little play there where they don't hold up and he doesn't have those plays. He's athletic, run game, pass game. I think he's been an underrated teammate throughout the course of his career, if you talk to players who have played with him. So it's going to be the longevity aspect of it. I don't know how – I know he said earlier this year that he only wants to play, I think, a couple more years, and so I think that might be tough. But if he changes his mind and wants to play longer and can continue to play at this level, then I think he would have a shot.
Shiel, excellent stuff, man. Love having you on the show. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, there Shiel. He is, Shiel Kapati. Right on back to the phones. Let's talk to Wade right now. Hi, Wade.
Hey, what up, John? What up, Joe, man? What's up, man?
Hi, Wade.
Hey, what's up? Congratulations, man, on your new spot. You feel me? Happy
Thank
for y'all.
You. Thank you, buddy.
And my thrill is when the callers get through the WIP, when the line not busy, that's a good thrill. When you ring.
people can relate.
Yeah. When y'all was talking about when James took that good answer, he was like, yeah, I'm going to take off the kids. And you can't relate, Joe. Yeah. But, like, the only thing that I can get to you that, like, can relate from listening to y'all all the years is, like, how your mom loved you. Like, just think about how your mom loved you.
That's a good point.
Think about how you can love somebody the way your mom loved you.
That's
like,
very
with
nice.
A kid, with a kid, yo, it's crazy. Like, every day it's a blessing.
But
every
is it day. Greater than the Eagles win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. It definitely is.
How about this? I cried when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I ain't cried when I had to leave my son. I wasn't.
Oh boy! But those were tears of joy. So what you're saying is, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you had tears of joy. When your son was born, you did not have tears of joy.
Because I ain't like saying like it was more creeped out when he was born.
Hey, Wade, great phone call, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
All right,
you got it, man. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. Hi, Jeff.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, Jeff.
Joe, I have to question my life choices when I agree with you too many times in one day.
Oh, welcome to the highest of wisdom.
I know. Dude, the coming into his own absolutely drives me nuts.
That's brutal.
I can't stand it. And the other one is controlling your own destiny. It's an oxymoron. It's not even possible. Destiny is something that's uncontrollable.
That's pretty
funny.
Yeah,
he's right about that. I've talked about that before.
Yep.
Okay, so the Eagles, real quick, special teams probably concerns me the most, but I have to hit on what Shiel was saying about the coaching's adaptability to these different teams.
I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah,
Shiel said that.
I didn't really think of it until he said it, and I'm like, you know what? That does make a lot of sense because we have talent, but we've got guys that are out now, and we're going to be able to adjust to that coming up in the next few weeks.
Well, some of it's personnel, and I think the bulk of what Shiel was saying was basic coaching. I mean, I'll tell you this. So I said in the start of the show, there's an answer I expected to hear the most today, and that answer is literally the name Jonathan Gannon. That's what I thought, and we'll see where it goes. A couple more hours, we'll see where people goes. But if I had to guess what people's greatest concern is, I think people's greatest concern, that's not mine, but I think people's greatest concern is probably Jonathan Gannon.
With the special teams, the field position is so important when you get into the playoffs. And these guys, the last few times, have been running kickoff out of the end zone, like taking them out, knowing that just totally disrespecting them.
Well, you're going to see more of that. Yeah, you're going to – because it's other teams are now effectively doing it. And so, you know, if Elliott can't get it really, really deep or through the end zone, then, you know, I mean, if it's five yards in, if I'm the other coach – I'm telling my kick returner, get your butt out of the end zone. Let's see what we can do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. Jeff, what do you got on the Phillies?
I would like them. I think signing a hitter, specifically a shortstop, specifically one of the top two or three, is a little bit more important right now than the pitching, because I believe they think that these kids they have down in the minors are closer than we think they are. Mm-hmm. That's just my thinking. I don't know. Our lineup is,
I think,
so
that's
one
hopeful
side
thinking.
Let's put it this way. They're certainly closer than position players in the minors to come up and be a prime position player. That's
but our
obvious.
Our hitting lineup is so lopsided with power hitters that we need somebody that can hit consistently and get on base consistently. I think that's more important right now.
So. Well, I'm very torn on it. I'll say that. Jeff, give me an answer here, man. What's a thrill?
Actually watching your kids perform. Both of my kids were in an art school, and they played sports. So just the idea of watching them perform,
You got it. All right. Jeff, appreciate the call, John. I'll bring this conversation full circle. I don't know if I've ever told you this one. Fourth grade Penn Charter. Oh, it was one of the worst moments of my life. It is a school play. My point is, I don't think my mom was probably too – she probably didn't even know what happened. I mean, a lot of people in the audience were probably confused. I knew. My teacher, Mrs. Kalenian, knew. My classmates knew. So we had a play. Let's just estimate that the play was, I'll just say, an hour and 10 minutes long. I'm just making it up, but it's probably
a long play.
Well, maybe an hour. We'll call it an – it was a pretty complex play. We would put on some great plays at Penn Charter. Every year you'd have an annual play. And I had a few scenes. I wasn't one of the prime characters. I had a few scenes. Let's just estimate that it's 20 minutes into the play, and I'm to come out for one of my three or four scenes. And for whatever reason, when I get out there, I start saying the lines for like 20 minutes down the road. Like, I do a totally different scene. Like, sequentially out of order.
So it makes no sense? Like, it makes... you're replying to people with nonsense?
Well, so here's the problem.
So do people have to adjust? And
yes. So the other crew out there, knew that I didn't know. And so they just start doing the scene that we're going to do in like 20 minutes. I mean, they did pretty good, because at least for that moment, the audience wouldn't necessarily know. So we do the scene. We get off stage. Everyone's like, "The camera, you're an idiot." Oh, my God. John, I felt less than 2 feet tall. First off, I probably wasn't. Mom. I was probably only literally about 3 feet tall, because I was in fourth grade. I felt like, to use a Frank Rizzo term, I felt like a crumb bum.
You
felt like a crumb.
You exploded the whole play. Like, so yes. You yourself shortened the play by 20 minutes?
So here's what happened.
They went back.
They went back. And then literally like 20 minutes later, we did the scene again. It was just horrendous.
And mom was in the audience.
Yeah.
Did she ever ask you about that?
Well, I told her. I mean, maybe she sensed. I don't remember. But I'll tell you, Mrs. Kalenian, who was my teacher, man. I mean, she handled it like a pro, because she was. But she clearly was not thrilled with little Joe D. I mean, I wrecked the play. I flat out wrecked it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Miller Lite wants to give you the best seat in the house for Sunday's game. So join Devin Caney and me at the Winston off 3rd Street this Thursday night at 7:30, where one lucky fan will win two club seats to Sunday's game, courtesy of Miller Lite. We'll be watching Thursday night football, enjoying $4 Miller Lights, $5 Vizzies, and $20 buckets. It's Devin Caney and me Thursday night at the Winston, and a chance to win tickets to Sunday's game. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly.
I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry. Oh, baby, there ain't no mountain high enough.
Jenna Camera and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. So this is a good song to play on a rainy day. Makes you feel a little better. 94 WIP. Hey, by the way, AMA today at noon, coming up in a half hour. What do you want to know? You got to want to know something, right? I'm sure you want to know something. What is an inquiring mind interested in finding out? Well, you can ask us. Get the questions in Facebook, Twitter, and the text line.
What was the play that you botched?
I don't know.
What?
How do you not know?
Guys, it was fourth grade. I don't know.
I mean, you were in the play, though.
We had a play every year. I don't know what the annual plays were. I mean,
I remember the plays I was in.
Yeah. What were you in?
Witness for the Prosecution. Remember that one?
I don't.
No.
I was in Grease.
I've been in a ton.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bite of the Big Apple.
Did a few Gilbert and Sullivan's back in the day. Pirates, okay. Penzance.
There you go.
Mikado. I was in the Mikado. How about that?
How about that? All right. The only one I know I was in was I was a baseball announcer in Damn Yankees. But that was in high school.
Stretch.
Stretch. I was recruited for that, John.
I like Damn Yankees. It's a good show.
It was all right. Yeah. No, I mean, literally, I wasn't going to be in the play. Like, what in the world am I going to be a play in high school for? But they came to me and like, yo.
What in the world am I
going to
be?
Yeah, I mean, come on. I'm going to lend my time to a school play in high school? Come on, man. But there was an announcer, and they said, "Hey, yeah, you're the guy around here. Yeah, probably that's your
in
world.
In demand.
In demand.
So the camera, the young actor,
thespian, right?
Yeah.
That the world that word thespian. Yeah. Hey, AMA at noon. So what do you want to know? Get those questions in Facebook, Twitter, and the text line 215-592-9494 to Dan in Philadelphia. Hi, Dan.
What's up, boys? How are we today?
Great, Dan.
John, James, I want you to envision this. There's a national crisis, right? And the president, Joseph DeCameron, has to go on live TV and calm the world down with a speech. And he can't think of his lines. So he starts saying, 4 score and 7 years ago, and don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for you. Joe, how is that even possible? You're going to run for president. You can't even
listen,
remember
dude,
lines
that was
in a
great
in,
point,
in,
Dan.
In a
well,
Charlie Brown play.
First off, I did remember the lines. I said them accurately. I just said the wrong scenes line. So let's just get that straight. And I was 10 years old.
You really did peak at 7, huh?
I was an early peaker.
That's just remarkable.
Absolutely, I was an early peaker.
Joe, we got a couple of things in common. We both won't jump in water, right? We have some type of weird fear in that. And I hate saying I have anything in common with you, but... and
you won't
I
jump into water? Like
No, John. It's just a fear. I've never been on a roller coaster.
Yep.
Whoa.
I literally tried to jump off the Ferris wheel when I was about 6.
Wow,
while,
that was a
when
bad
I got to
choice.
The top.
Yeah,
well, you really
Joe,
bad
too much
choice.
Joe DeCameron, you Danny.
No, it's just something.
Why would you
are...
try to jump off the Ferris wheel?
Well, that's
because your
crazy.
Fear. It's fight or flight, right? So your fear is overtaking your mental. I just went to Anacostia this summer, and you had to take the ski lift up the mountains. I literally had thoughts of jumping off it. Like it was that
wow.
scary for me. It's just wild. The fear that the thoughts that go through your brain when you're in the middle of something like that is wild. And that's why I won't get on a roller coaster.
That's interesting. You know, I found out that I have a Neanderthal gene. I did that 23andMe thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Neanderthal.
Yeah, we could have told you that without the 23andMe.
Well, right. I don't have that much Neanderthal. But one gene that I do have, it is a Neanderthal gene that prevents me from being afraid of heights.
Wow.
So I guess you're less Neanderthal than I am.
That's wild. Dan, what do you got on the Eagles, man?
Hey, I could have broke John Clark's story last week. I actually saw Malcolm Jenkins on my route. He's definitely in shape, and I was asking about being retired, and he said he is enjoying being retired, but he definitely misses Sunday mornings with you know, getting up and playing.
I'm sure.
So,
I'm sure.
All right, interesting. Dan, what is a thrill?
Well, you must have been – I would have loved to saw your face when that thrill when your cousin came walking down the steps and you're waiting at the bottom, like, on prominent. But
with the corsage.
I would say his heart beating, sweating,
so,
and his little size 7.
So not cool.
But I would say
– No. I am going to spread the rumor that Richie was rooting for Iran yesterday against the U.S. No. You guys have now pushed me too far. I am going to get – what do they call them, Twitter bots? I'm going to get Twitter
ridiculous.
Bots out there to report
John,
that Richie
was rooting
for Iran.
The Iran players, not Iran.
It's so absurd.
On Friday, when I hear that celebration music, when you get beat and beat the hammer.
All right,
good
Dan.
You've what a thrill.
Every aspect of that call bothered me. Every single aspect. I'll tell you what does not bother me is the possibility of Malcolm Jenkins becoming an Eagle again. But I'll tell you what does bother me. After our show yesterday, finding out that Malcolm Jenkins is actually not a free agent. So it is much more complicated than just, do you think he can still play? Do you want to call him? Do you want to sign him? Do you want to bring him in for a tryout first? It's more complicated. He is a saint, property-wise. Let's listen to Malcolm Jenkins. He was talking with John Clark. This was the second time John Clark got to him in a couple of days. This was yesterday. Here's Malcolm with John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
I think, you know, it's obviously something I would entertain, but a lot of that is out of my control. So, it's not that simple, not because I'm not a free agent or anything like that, but I mean, you know, it's obviously exciting times in Philly. I mean, like you said, I'm in shape. I'm not against it, but some things had to fall in line for something like that to happen. And
those things hadn't gotten in motion at all. So right now, you know, I'm just still a fan.
And it could be very so here's the deal, guys. The Saints currently retain his rights because he retired while under contract with the Saints. He is on what is called the reserve retired list from the Saints. In order for the Eagles to get him, Malcolm Jenkins, John, would have to be cut by the Saints. Remember, this is past the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Jenkins would have to be cut by the Saints in order for the Eagles to get him. I mean, it seems unlikely, wow. You know, but, I mean, maybe this is one of those things where you have favors that
– Well, they have a good relationship. It
I don't know if they have a good relationship. The Saints have a new regime. It was Sean Payton Saints. It's no – like, I don't know what their relationship is.
Okay.
There's a new group down
you
there.
You have to try to keep – an amiable relationship with all teams.
That's
sort of. We got Gardner Johnson. You know, we swapped, you know, like fourth, fifth, sixth.
Eagles also hold their pick. Saints can't be happy with that.
And you got to wonder if that's one of those things where they're like, wait a second.
You're not going to give up Malcolm Jenkins.
You're not going to give up the 10th pick in the draft.
Is there
it's like the seventh pick right now.
Make it lottery protected. Oh, okay, sure. Then we get Malcolm.
Is there some sense of, hey, you took advantage of us then? We are sort of in a bad spot because of that. I don't think that's the case. But I think that the fact that we have made so many deals with the Saints recently, that has to be a positive when you talk about that.
Maybe. This. Maybe not. Maybe the Saints. I don't know. I
mean, the lines of communication are certainly open.
Well,
with
sure.
New Orleans.
James, help me out.
They have been for a while.
Help me remember this. Is there any waiver process? Like, if he got put... If he got cut, is he available to anybody? Does he have to go through?
He would have to go through waivers if he got cut. I would assume. I don't know for sure.
I would think, right?
I don't know why he wouldn't.
So then a different team like the Cowboys could claim him because I think it goes in reverse order. I mean, the Eagles would then, if it's waivers, they'd have the last chance. So it just doesn't seem
likely.
Likely.
I don't know.
I mean.
But then you have
What are you going to go to the Cowboys and say, please don't claim Malcolm Jenkins. We really want to get him. Like, it just
well,
it seems impossible.
Well, there's the part that Malcolm Jenkins has to have some leverage here.
No.
I mean, he is a retired player.
But he's under contract.
He doesn't have to play for someone else. But someone
that's
else
what
can,
I'm saying.
But someone else
he
can
does,
block the Eagles
block him,
from
John.
Picking
but
him.
But he doesn't have to play for someone else.
But he won't. He won't play for someone.
Yes. That has to factor.
But not for the
in.
Other
no, John,
teams.
It doesn't factor. If you're
if
the Cowboys,
says,
why wouldn't you block?
Why wouldn't you block?
I would block.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you don't let that go through so the Eagles can just get Malcolm Jenkins?
I just think that there's more, I don't know, human, interpersonal, like common sense with all this.
You're being a Pollyanna here. There's all every NFC team of relevancy would block. So it just seems to me like almost impossible. That's the way I say it. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, AMA today at noon, you ask, we answer. On 94 WIP.
If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you know that a great point-of-sale system can truly make a difference in your success. It's hard to find a company that offers everything you need and is willing to customize a game plan to fit your individual needs. Well, if you've been looking for the perfect POS partner, you need to call my friends at PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ has everything you need for success, including mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reports, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. That's why PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn and his team will create a custom game plan that will help your business succeed. Trust me, if you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at pdqpos.com. That's pdqpos.com.
Well, yeah, speaking of the Phils, you just heard the Phils reference there. Twitter poll question of the day. What is more important for the Phillies to acquire this offseason? A, elite hitting, or B, elite pitching? Like, we all want it all, obviously, but and they'll get parts of both. But elite-wise, they might only get one elite guy. Would you rather it be a hitter or a pitcher? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Certainly, you can weigh in on the phone lines as well. You can also weigh in on the Eagles, and obviously a great football team. Some areas of concern that's been, you know, discussed ad nauseum for weeks now. But what's number one? John thinks it's pass rush. Actually, John thinks it's run defense. I think it's pass rush. James says special teams. I mean, there's a couple ways to cut it here. A few different people have referenced the coaching staff, Gannon, Sirianni, in different ways. What strikes you as the biggest problem? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Ron in Monco right now. Hi, Ron.
Hammer.
Hey, Ron.
Richie.
Hi, Ron.
What's happening, fellas?
Lots.
I'm sitting over here in the rainy day at my grandmother's grave saying hello. Her birthday's in 3 days. And, you know, Hammer, she told me to tell you real men don't wear skinny jeans, okay?
Yeah, so you take a poignant moment and you just make a jackass of yourself there, Ron.
Well, I did stop and see her.
Good for you.
But it's her birthday on the 3rd. Anyway, so congratulations, I think, is in order. It took me 4 years of whipping on you like a rented mule, and I pulled you right across the line, man.
You talking about the morning show?
I am.
Ron made it happen.
So, Ron, I just want to make sure here, you are laying claim for credit to Ron, like all hail Ron.
Who toughened you up?
Ron and Monco did.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
And don't forget, the first guy I went after was the biggest guy in the studio, and that was Richie. It was funny because you guys were on the air.
Well, you know what's funny about it? I don't remember it.
Well, it went on because it was a process.
Oh.
It was a process. And you guys kind of made it through Ron from Monco boot camp.
Okay, right.
And that's basically what happened, you know? Because I'll never forget. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what Richie's got. So I went right after the Richie.
How did he handle it? He handled it all right?
He was a little mortified.
But if he handled it okay, doesn't that mean you don't really throw a tough punch? I mean, if you went after him for 4 years and he's unscathed, that says something about you, right?
No. See, he did well. He got through it.
But all right, Ron, what do you got on the Phillies? Talk to me.
On the Phillies.
Yeah.
All right. So look, Seltzer's got a number that I'm curious to hear. But you know, if they don't fix what they didn't fix last year, then, you know, Trey Turner's not going to be enough.
So what's that mean, defense or bullpen? What are you talking about?
It's both. If they don't listen, it's great what they did. Okay, you and I both know it's a miracle. I'll take the miracle. Okay, but the bottom line is this team is so structurally handicapped, it's pathetic.
Well,
so,
they were somewhat, but you know what? They did almost win it. It was amazing they got as far as they got. Ron,
yeah,
give me
John,
Ron, give me
Joe,
a great
let me ask,
Ron.
Joe, let me, oh, Joe, let yep. me ask you this. Yep. Let me ask you this. First of all, Seltzer, what's the strikeouts, 1 through 6?
I didn't add it up, Ron.
Okay, well, what do you got? What do you got on? What do you got?
Wait, you gave Seltzer an assignment and he didn't do it?
Well, I asked him to check.
Yeah, I did.
Ron, I deal with this all the time. I agree with you, Ron. Ron,
I'm looking right now.
One through six. Every day is 1 through 6 are almost 1,000 strikeouts. I'll bet you. Okay, the only person that cut down on the strikeouts was Harper. Okay, everybody else, who's going to protect Harper? Who is going to protect Harper?
Well, it depends who they sign. All right, Ron, give me an answer. What's a thrill?
You know what? I got a good one. When I finally cut through the total corruption and cherry picking of the question of the day,
mm-hmm.
and got through that silliness and finally won it.
Okay, so a thrill was winning a prize on WIP. Ah. All right, WIP prize. All right. You're righty. All right. Yeah.
That was a thrill.
That was an interesting call from Ron on a lot of levels right there. He was sort of all...
When isn't it interesting with Ron?
He was, but I'll tell you what, John. I am enjoying talking some Phils again. We really hadn't for the last 2 or 3 weeks after they obviously dominated, you know, for an entire month. And I don't want us to forget the Phils. I mean, it's Eagle season and all that, and they're having a great year. But this was an incredibly compelling Phillies October / part of November, and
yes,
as they make the turn in December, we got to keep that conversation, you know, moving.
Well, I think the fact that this season was so compelling, when we spent big,
yeah, well, they went over
that luxury threshold, suggests that we're going to see more of the same, and that this offseason, this Phillies offseason, is going to be big names, big bang for your buck. And we just heard today that this whole process could be a little bit accelerated.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Well, you know what I think also substantiates what you just said about how they could go like even bigger bucks than the big
bucks?
There's
no question.
Well, they will. They're going to.
They might go like second tier luxury tax this year. Which is, I mean, just think of like 3 years ago.
I know.
If you would have told us that this Phillies team would go over the luxury threshold for the second year in a row,
yeah,
and this time we were going to go over the second threshold.
Sure.
Like, I expect that now.
Well,
we went to the World Series because we spent money. And like, you don't want to go backwards.
Now, you don't want to go backwards. And the thing that gives me additional hope on that is when they broke through, gosh, it's now close to 14 years ago, whatever the heck it was, 15 years ago. Making the playoffs in 07. James, you remember this. Once they made the playoffs, they were in on spending big bucks.
Yeah.
08, 9, 10, 11. I mean, my recollection, and we could look it up, but my recollection is for those chunks of years, I think the Phillies trailed only the Yankees and Red Sox in money
spent. Yeah, they were up there.
Like, they were a legit, like, three or four, like,
and look,
most
Middleton
years.
Just went over and almost made the World Series, or almost won the World Series.
Almost, yeah.
Like, if you want, like, evidence of does this work, you know?
Yep, I agree. Let's go to Jeff right now. Hi, Jeff.
Fellas.
Jeff.
How are you, pal?
What's going on?
Hi.
Hey. I need y'all, all three of you. I'm going to start an internal conflict. Do you like the Eagles Christmas song? Before I get to my Eagles point, do you like the Christmas song?
The one I heard, I thought sounded great.
I need y'all to get on Fritz. I tried to get him yesterday. He is poo-pooing my ladder and wants us to go against my ladder singing.
Whoa. What do you expect? Pavarotti? What do you think? He was going to get a Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey voice? Like it's an offensive lineman for the Eagles.
Mariah is really good at singing.
He does have a good singing voice, but it's not going to be Pavarotti.
He was on with Philadelphia One, and Bill didn't, shut him down, but he let him go on, and I don't think that's right.
Well, should we fire him?
Look, when he comes in, ask him about it. Tell him to be a man.
I will. I saw him in here. I'll track him down in the next commercial for you.
Yeah, Joe. I thought the guy sounded good. Yeah.
He's a man. He's still a man. I like him anyway. But check this out.
He's not playing as well as he should this year, if we're talking football.
Okay, I thought we were talking about Fritz. We're talking about Mailata.
No, I'm talking about Mailata.
Yeah, I was like, Fritz is playing football? Like, what am I missing?
Mailata is struggling.
He on pass protection.
I don't get it.
I know.
He looks like a different player than what we've seen the last couple seasons.
It's a step backward. Jeff, what do you got? Go ahead.
And this is where the hypocritical Eagles fans are coming in. They're talking about we're running the ball too much. What was the main?
I don't know that people are saying
Jeff,
that.
One person saying that doesn't mean that it's like
that?
A groundswell
now,
of people. I mean,
I'm listening to the callers call in. I'm telling you, I try to get in. You guys are good.
Yeah, but we talked to enough callers that I can tell you that's a remarkably minor percentage of people.
But this is the thing. They're not staying for the right reason. If the team continues to run the ball the way they're doing, guess what? Cox stays healthy. Hargrave stays healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we keep talking
totally.
About, you know, John Marks. I gotta go there, fellas. I know we crisscrossing us.
Listen, take a Mark's opinion of those guys. I don't want to go too much in the other show. You got an opinion about them?
We do this with ESPN. We talk about what.
That's all right. You take it to them. That's all I'm saying. Jeff, give me an answer. What's the thrill?
The biggest thrill is knowing that I know something that you don't know. What's a platypus?
Get out of here, Jeff. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So, well, let me divert.
What is that? You can't say creature guy.
No, it's an animal.
What is? Okay, you can't say animal.
It's a creature guy. No,
it's a platypus.
A platypus.
Can you describe it any further?
All right. So I think now I'm trying to remember here where we were. I believe it's a bulky.
Bulky.
It's a bulky thing.
Like what does bulky that
mean? Hold on.
What does bulky mean?
Bulky means. I'm thinking of a certain type of animal, but I'm struggling to remember what it's called.
Okay, what's a similar animal?
That's what I'm trying to come up with.
A similar bulky
it's
animal.
It's like a boxy bulky. Animal.
Boxy. Now boxy, I'm bulky.
It's the thing that was, what was going after Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade? Young Indy. Young Indy is on a train, and the thing with the horns cracks through the top of the train and he falls in.
What?
Remember
what?
Young Indy? Remember,
I do.
Remember River Phoenix?
Yeah.
River Phoenix.
And the snakes.
And he falls in the
yeah.
snakes.
Yeah.
And there's another type of animal in there. That big, bulky, boxy
whatever
thing.
Whatever. Like a steer?
I don't
like
remember
a,
it is, but you're way,
like
way,
a,
way off.
Like
whatever.
An oxen?
You're nowhere
like,
in
yeah,
the
big
hemisphere.
Dude, big
yeah,
dude.
You're
right.
nowhere in the
so
hemisphere.
So it's not a big guy.
So you think a platypus, a bulky platypus is like about the same size
as a horse,
as a cow?
No, smaller than that, but like I just can't remember the name of what I'm trying to get at. But whatever had the horns.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Had the horns.
You're just wrong.
All right, what's the answer?
Well, what's the answer to what is a platypus?
Yeah, well, I'm clearly out of choices. I don't have anything else. So what do you got?
A bigger name for it is a duck-billed platypus. It's got
you can't define
bill.
Something with the same name. You can't say a platypus is a platypus.
It's got a bill uh-huh. like yeah. a duck.
Like a duck bill.
So it's a duck guy. Okay. Well,
it's got a pouch.
I would not have thought it was a duck. I'll say that.
It's not a duck.
Oh, okay. It's not a duck.
It lays eggs.
Okay. Okay.
It's a really strange animal.
It's an egg layer. Okay, fair enough.
I bet you won't.
Could you Google a picture
that.
Of it and maybe just force your brain?
It's
say,
just
hey, this is something I'm going to remember. I'm going to look at this picture right now, this moment.
I
stick
just,
in my freaking head.
I don't care. That's the thing. You guys got to understand. I don't care. I'll tell you what I do care about, AMA. Up ahead next. You ask, we answer. We'll get to that. We'll rock all the calls as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.